We are Argyle Community Church. What does that mean? It means that we want to be a united community, and this is the focus of our current sermon series. We're studying the doctrines that unite us and bring us together. We've done creation, fall, redemption, and faith, and the fifth in our series is justification. Justification has been called the hinge, or the main hinge, on which Christianity turns. It's unique amongst all the other world religions. It depends completely on Jesus and his work on the cross and his life and death and resurrection. And it is amazing. And I've been really looking forward to sharing with you and teaching you about justification. My purpose in this sermon is two main things. Number one, to help us understand what justification is. And number two, to see what relevance it has for our day-to-day lives so that we live out of our justification. Paul talks about justification a lot in the book of Romans, and here he is in Romans chapter 3. He says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ." So he's saying, everyone has sinned, but sinners can be justified. That's the message of good news. And this happened, this is possible, because of God's grace, his love to the undeserving. Paul goes on to say in verse 28 that a person can only be justified by faith, not by obeying God's law. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith, apart from the works of the law. He's saying justification happens only by faith, not by good works, not by trying to keep God's law. When we entrust ourselves to Jesus, as we were thinking about last week, we are justified. But what exactly is justification? What does that word mean? Here's a definition from pastor and author David Platt. "The Bible defines justification as the gracious act of God by which he declares a sinner righteous only through faith in Jesus." So when a sinful person puts their faith in Jesus, God declares that person to be righteous. What does it mean? What's righteousness? This word righteous, what does that mean? Well, to be righteous means to be right and good. Righteousness is right living in God's eyes. It's right living, right relationships with God and with others. It's living according to God's standards of right and of wrong. We may think we're righteous, but as soon as we stop and examine God's law and compare ourselves to God's law, which shows us what God requires to be righteous, we realize that we're not righteous at all. We realize that we fall very short of God's standard of righteousness. We just can't possibly put any confidence in our own righteousness because we haven't managed to keep God's law in the way that he requires. We may have kept some of it, but loads and loads of it we haven't managed to keep. And Alison's illustration just shows us a snapshot of the things that we do regularly, the sins that we commit that mean that we're not righteous. And actually the Bible even says our righteous acts in God's eyes, even the righteous things we do, are like filthy rags in his sight, because everything we do is tainted with sin. God's law is the ultimate moral standard, and it's just too high for us. However, when we put our faith in Jesus, we receive his righteousness as a gift, and God declares us to be perfectly completely righteous. That's justification. And justification is an amazing gift from God. The perfect keeping of God's law by Jesus is counted as ours, because Jesus did keep God's law perfectly. He was righteous. He was right with God and right in his relationships with other people. He didn't fail in any way to keep God's law. So he was like us in that he became human, but he was unlike us in that he managed to keep God's law. And that law keeping by Jesus is counted as ours. It's as if it's credited to our account. We don't have to earn it. We can't earn it. It's a gift from God to us. When we put our faith in Jesus, as this diagram illustrates, our sin is put on Jesus, and Jesus' righteousness is counted as ours. And on the basis of that, God declares us to be righteous. It's this wonderful double exchange. It's like the exchanging of shirts in Alison's illustration. Jesus kept God's law perfectly for us, and he took our penalty for breaking God's law, for failing to live righteously. Wow, that's amazing. What an exchange. And this gift of righteousness, what it means is that we're accepted by God. It means we don't have to constantly worry that we're good enough for God. Have I pleased God enough? Will he let me into heaven? It means that when God looks at us, at those who've put their faith in Jesus, he sees Jesus' righteousness in place of our sin. And that gives us total confidence in our relationship with God. We know he accepts us. I wonder, can you say, yes, I have Jesus' righteousness counted as mine. I am relying on his righteousness. Can you say, because I trust in Jesus, he has taken my sin, given me his righteousness, and I'm sure and certain that I'll be accepted? Or are you hoping that God will accept you on the basis of your own righteousness, on the basis of your own efforts to keep God's law, on the basis of your own morality? Don't put your confidence in your own righteousness, because it's not enough. Put all your confidence in Jesus' righteousness. That's the only way to be accepted by God. I just want to run through some important points about justification now, just to kind of flesh it out a little bit. We've gone over what it is, the kind of definition, so to speak, but now I want to enlarge our understanding of it. First of all, it's a once-for-all-time legal declaration made by God about us. Verse 20 of Romans 3. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. So there's this declaration it talks about. It's not a continual process that's happening in our lives as Christians. It's like a judicial pronouncement by God, which takes place the moment a person puts their faith in Jesus. That's the first thing to note. The second is this. The context of justification is God's love. It's the good news, actually, that we're deeply loved by God. We see that in Romans 3:24. And all are justified freely by his grace. God's grace is his love for those who don't deserve it. It's the amazing generosity and overflowing kindness of God to sinners. And those who are justified have done nothing to earn that justification or to be worthy of it. It comes because of God's love. So the context of justification is love. It's not like it's some complicated doctrine I have to understand. It's love. It's all about God's love. And then justification is based on the work of Jesus, not on the work of the Spirit's renewal in us. I mention that because sometimes people get justification and sanctification confused. Sanctification, we're going to look at that in one of the sermons coming up. But sanctification is the work of the Spirit in our lives day by day to gradually, over time, make us more like Jesus so that we obey him more and become more holy and so on. But justification, as we've said in our first point, is this once for all time declaration by God based on the work of Jesus. Comes through Jesus, because of Jesus, depends on Jesus. And then justification, as I'm sure you picked up in the reading, is through faith alone. It comes to us through the instrument of faith alone. It's not tied to our performance. Our performance is a result of our faith, as it were. The moral acts we do, as we saw last week, are because we've put our faith in Jesus. They are important, but they're not what justifies us. It's faith that justifies us. Faith is like the channel, or the pipe, or the conduit, or the empty hand that receives the gift of justification of Jesus' righteousness. Verse 26, he, that's God, did it demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Justification is by faith. But maybe we're thinking, hang on a minute, how can God declare us righteous when we're clearly not? I mean, the minute we put our trust in Jesus, God declares us righteous, but we all know that we continue to sin in our Christian life. So how can God declare us to be righteous when we're not? Well, it's because he imputes Christ's righteousness to us. That word, that imputation, means that God counts Christ's righteousness as ours and declares us on the basis of that not guilty. And we can think of this in terms of bank accounts, okay? This helps me to understand. So if we look at this diagram of this bank account, so on the left, that's the bank account of me, the bank account of you. It's the bank account of us, okay? And what's in the account? Our debt of sin. But then on the right in the pink is Jesus' bank account. And what's in his account? Perfect, spotless righteousness. And when I take trust in Jesus, this is what happens. He takes on my debt of sin. And he credits, as it were, my account with his perfect righteousness. And he thus declares us righteous when we're not. Because we have the righteousness of Jesus, that verse there, Galatians 3:6. So also Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. That word credit, that's where I get this bank analogy from. That's how God can declare us righteous when we're not. He declares it on the basis of the righteousness of another, of Jesus. But maybe you're thinking, isn't this a little bit unfair? How is that justice for the innocent one to be put to death for the crimes of the many guilty? It would be unfair unless the innocent one volunteered and the judge agreed. And this is the wonder of the gospel. The innocent one, Jesus, did volunteer. And the judge, that's God, did agree. And we who put our faith in Jesus are the grateful beneficiaries of the arrangement. God has made it so this is possible. Jesus has made it so this is possible. So that's justification. That's the definition. There's some things surrounding justification we need to be aware of. I hope that helps your understanding of justification. But I want to move on to part two now of the sermon, because this isn't just about, I've understood this doctrine in my head. It's, how does it go from here to here? Like, what effect does justification have on our hearts? And how does it affect us day to day in our lives? What difference does it make? That's what we're going to think about now. First of all, it gives us freedom. Because we are freed from, we are released from, having to establish our own righteousness. You see, if we're not relying on and rejoicing in Christ's righteousness than we'll be forever trying to establish our own, to kind of build up our own credit of righteousness in our own bank account, so to speak, because we think that's how God will accept me. So our life becomes about building up our righteousness. So we become locked into this pattern. I have to establish and uphold my reputation of righteousness. And what we'll do is we'll always be trying to maintain our rightness, because we need to be right. We're thinking they need to be right in God's eyes, and that extends to our relationships with others. And so, because I'm always right, I don't listen to people, because, well, I listen when I already know I'm right. Because I think I'm always right, I complain. Other people have it wrong. I know what's best and right. And because I'm right, I boast. It feels really great for others to see that I'm right about so many things. Because I'm building my righteousness, I defend myself. Don't try to undermine my edifice of righteousness, which I have been working on and building for years. I jump to defend myself, to defend my rightness. And I also attack and accuse. You're not as right as you think you are. I'm the one with the righteousness here. And I become harsh with others. They don't have it together. They're not right. There's something wrong with them. And then I'm critical. People need my helpful and right correction to improve. And I gossip as well. I'm right about people and their problems. Therefore, I can voice my opinion to others about my rightness and someone else's wrongness. That's what happens when we're kind of resting on our own righteousness, when we're trying to build up and establish and maintain our own rightness. But accepting Jesus means I'm freed from that, because I don't have to rely on that. I can accept that I'm not right all the time. I can accept that I don't have any righteousness, actually. I can say freely, my righteousness attempts are like filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. But I do have the righteousness of another, and that's what gives me security. So I give up my own righteousness, my building up my bank account of righteousness. I receive by faith Christ's righteousness, and I'm free. I'm no longer in this cycle of trying to have to establish my own righteousness. I'm just freed and released from that damaging way of living. I used to live like that as a Christian. I kind of really felt, fell into thinking without really examining my heart, that God would accept me because I was such a brilliant Christian. But that made me an awful person to be around. Now I get my security from who I am in Christ, rather than by proving to myself and to others and to God that I'm right. And so my relationships with my family and my friends and with you guys and with unbelievers, they improve. Because I'm not that person who's always insisting how good they are. Where do you get your righteousness from? From yourself? From the fact that you are right about so many things? Where is your functional righteousness? Meaning, what do you rely on day by day to know that you're accepted by God? Is it your own righteousness, or is it Jesus's? Be free. Be liberated from the forced labor of having to establish your own righteousness. Jesus has given you his. Accept it. Live out of it. Enjoy it. Be amazed by it. So that's the first thing that justification does in our lives. It gives us this freedom. Frees us from having to prove that we're right all the time. And then it gives us assurance. And this is especially precious for those who are weighed down with a burden of guilt and despair over their sin. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, says Jesus. Rest for your souls. like a deep rest. Rest from despair. Rest from worry. Rest from the nagging fear that I've not done enough to secure my salvation. Will I be okay when I die? Rest from all that. We can rest from that because Jesus has done enough. His righteousness is enough. His righteousness is credited to my account, and it's on the basis of that that I'm sure of my eternal destiny. Sometimes we do experience doubts and fears, don't we, and worries about our eternal security. And Satan makes those accusations. Satan's very keen to make us doubt and despair. Have I done enough, etc.? He sort of whispers, you're not good enough. What about that thing you did in the past? That awful thing. What about that thing you did last week? Call yourself a Christian. God doesn't like you. You're too sinful. You've let people down too much. You can't be accepted, etc. But when those doubts, when those voices, when those accusations come into our mind, we can remember Romans 8, 33 and 34. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. We can say those verses out loud when we're experiencing the accusations of Satan. It is God who justifies. Who are you to condemn me, Satan? God has justified me through Jesus. Yes, I'm not a good person. Jesus is the good, perfect person. He's mine and his righteousness is mine. If you experience doubts and misgivings about whether God accepts you, hold on to Christ. He was condemned in your place. You are justified on the basis of his righteousness. You are safe in him. Justification also causes us to live humble lives. It brings humility. When we understand it properly, it humbles us because it means we realize we contribute absolutely nothing to our righteousness, to our acceptance with God. We're relying totally on Jesus. And we get it through faith, not through performance, not through earning it. We can't be proud because we've nothing to be proud about. After explaining justification in Romans 3, he kind of goes through it. And then in verse 27, Paul says, where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith, apart from the works of the law. Where is boasting? It's excluded. Justification produces humility. Justification also means that we stand before an infinitely holy God with total confidence. That's astonishing, that we can approach God with total confidence. We can approach him with total confidence because we're clothed in the sinless perfection of another, of Jesus. We've got that white shirt on that Alison used in the illustration, as it were, those robes of righteousness. And that's why we can approach God. Pastor and blogger Eric Raymond, some of you may remember him, we did a course called Gospel-Shaped Outreach that he presented. But he says this, I love the way he puts it. Justification by faith alone is the declarative act by God, the judge, that we are forever wrapped in the everlasting righteousness of Christ. His record is now your record. His merit is yours. God treats you as righteous because he treated Christ as unrighteous for our sake. I love that imagery, wrapped forever in the everlasting righteousness of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. That's how we approach God, like a child just throws herself into the lap of her father. That's how we can come to God. I wonder, how do you approach God? When you approach him in prayer, when you're thinking about your relationship with him, do you wonder what he thinks of you? Do you wonder whether he accepts you? Do you kind of feel a bit guilty and ashamed? Because of Jesus, you can approach him with freedom and confidence. Following on from that, justification means that we don't have to worry at all about God accepting us, because we know he does. We are righteous and beautiful in his sight. He delights in us. He really does. I like to think of it like this. God is looking at you now. What expression is on his face as he looks at you? Is there a frown? Is it that look of disappointment? No. If we're in Christ, if we put our faith in Jesus, he has a smile on his face. He looks at us with delight and happiness. My child, you're mine. Come on, I accept you. God loves us totally, accepts us completely. And that is awesome. And that is wonderful. And we rejoice in that. Do you rejoice in that? Make sure you do. Stunning. And then finally, justification catalyzes sanctification. Now, as we saw earlier, sanctification is this gradual process over time where the Spirit causes Christ-likeness and holiness and obedience in us. It's a lifelong process. It's what happens throughout the whole of our lives, or our time as Christians in our lives. The wonder, the joy, the freedom, the confidence of justification draws us closer to God, enriches our relationship with him, and then enhances our sanctification. So justification is the basis and the motivation and the foundation of our sanctification. It makes us desire to do what God says because we're so delighted by what he's done for us. It is the foundation for heartfelt obedience. It's where obedience should spring from. Remember, the reason God justifies us is because he loves us through his grace. And when we understand and live out of justification, that causes like an explosion of love in our heart. And it overflows to God and to others. And we love God and we love others. And we want to serve God and serve others and so on. It changes us. I was thinking, while Sheena was talking about the shoebox appeal, I was thinking, why do Christians want to give a gift to people they've never met? It's because we've given a gift, right? The gift of righteousness. And so we want to respond and give another gift to someone else who needs something. How do we grow in holiness? We focus on what God has done for us in Jesus. We rejoice in it. We delight in it. And that will be the catalyst for our sanctification, for our growth in holy living. Before we carry on with the service, let's pause now, just to digest what we've heard. Let me pray. Holy Spirit, as we think about what we've heard, what do you want us to understand most about justification, each of us individually? Holy Spirit, please show us what each of us needs to take away from this. Let's spend a few minutes in silent contemplation, listening for God, and then we'll continue with the service.